Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we ask and receive this evening wisdom and insight in your word. We are better than when we came. This word brings light and understanding to us. We are equipped and we know what to do. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we have been looking in this advanced Bible class. Really, we are going through. We want to start the gospel from the very beginning. Say it's a gospel of salvation, and it's a salvation from sin. So we have been seeking to understand the origin of sin, what sin is, what was man's issue, what did he do, what are the effects of that sin, and what is the necessity of redemption. Hopefully, and ideally, and God willing, after this, we'll do the humanity of Jesus. Hallelujah. We'll start the gospel from humanity, his life, death, resurrection, and so on and so forth. So last week we looked at Adam, the serpent, and the tree. We basically wanted to understand who the serpent is, or what the serpent is. And we picked up from Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 4, where the serpent was more subtle than any, subtle than any beast of the field. What did we say that word serpent was used as in the Old Testament? We said the serpent was figurative in the Old Testament, and we saw it used when for actions, whereby when Jacob was prophesying upon his children in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 17, he called Dan a serpent. And we saw that that word was used for that which destroys, that which is poisonous. The Hebrew word was what? Achash. Achash, that which is poisonous, kills, destroys. We also tracked the Hebrew word Nachash, and we realized it is a word in Genesis 30, 27, which is used for experience, whereby Laban had experienced that Jacob, the Lord was with Jacob, because everything that he had prospered. We also say that that word can be used for divination, and Genesis 44, 5, and Genesis 44, and 15. So we said it is used for a desire to know outside the influence of God, or to know outside God. You have a need and independence. Okay? So ideally, we say that the serpent beguiled Eve, or in that, I want to say beguilation, from the simplicity that was in Christ Jesus, where we picked it up in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. And I fear, lest as the serpent beguiled Eve through its subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. So, we saw that corruption, simplicity, generosity. So we said there was a message of God's generosity. There was a message of God's giving. And in the figure that is used by Moses in Genesis for the serpent, we say that Eve was destructive. Eve was taken away from that single-mindedness, that giving, that generosity, which is in God. And we say that that generosity was in what? In providing eternal life, a fruit. What is the fruit for? The tree of life, which has the fruit of life. Amen. And we say that they were beguiled from that simplicity, which was in Christ Jesus. We looked at some interesting things, like in Matthew. Remember that thing we discussed in Matthew? Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And we said there was a syntax problem. What does syntax mean again? Arrangement of words or phrases to form sentences. And we said God cannot be telling the believer to be like a serpent. I think that the usage of a serpent in the Bible was negative. Okay? So we said there was a rearrangement there, and we said that what did you come up with? I send you for as sheep who are harmless as doves in the midst of wolves who exist as wise as serpents. So the wolves are the serpents and the sheep are the doves. Praise the Lord. Did we agree on that? Did we agree on that? You're welcome, sir. So the sheep are the ones who are like doves, and the wolves are like the, or are as the serpent. Now, before we go ahead, I wanted to just tell you something about the usage of figures of speech in the Bible, specifically in the documentation of Moses. A figure of speech is a figure of speech. It is not used to describe or cannot now start to be used as what that word means. Okay? If you say you went out and planted wheat, the enemy came and sowed tares, you cannot say believers are wheat. You know what I mean? And then believers are tares, or false converts are tears. For that particular parable, or for that particular figure of speech, the wheat stands for the children of the kingdom, and the tares for the children that are sown by the enemy. So even when it comes to figures of speech, every figure of speech also ought to be approached or applied contextually. Hallelujah. Did we have any questions on that last week? No. He gave opportunity to question. So now that we have seen that, what happened in the beginning? What happened in the garden? What was the scene? What really happened? And we have seen that there was a disbelief. There was an unbelief. There was a transgression. God offered his rest, which you see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 up to 3. And God rested afterwards. He had finished all that he had created, all that he had made. And we say that the one who has finished shouldn't be the one who is entering rest. However, the rest that he put there in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, is a rest that was intended for man. So a rest was offered for man. Eternal life was offered to man. Adam now. Adam did not take that promise. Did not take what God offered. And we say that is where the sin was. His sin was not murder. His sin was not adultery. But his sin there was unbelief. Amen. His sin was in disobedience to God's word. You will eat of the tree of life and you shall have life. He said, the counter to that, if you do not eat of the tree of life, you will die, which Moses documented as the tree of knowledge, good and evil. But that tree really is absent life, as it is. Hallelujah. So, the description of sin in the epistles, or the description of what really happened in the garden in the epistles, is given to us by Paul in Romans 5 and 12. Today we're going to be around there. Romans 5 and 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Are we there? And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, today we're going to look at what exactly, okay? What exactly passed from Adam to all men? In verse 13, for until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. I want you to notice that in the New Testament, as I've said and I'll say again, no one retold, re-preached the story of Genesis as fruits and trees. That's clear. So it shows us that the things we saw in Genesis chapter 3, even Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 1, I mean, chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, many of them are heavily figurative. Was there a little tree? Was there a little garden? Was there, you know, little fruit? Was there a little serpent? Amen. When we see as the stories are retold, or in the teaching is retold in the epistles and in the New Testament, some things are left out and some things are maintained. Yes, we have seen the serpent is maintained, but we don't see the tree, knowledge of good and evil. We don't see the tree of life. Instead, like Paul is going to tell us something else, which we're going to look at today. Amen. Now let's start from that verse 12. We're going to start from a grammatic rendering, and then we'll pick it up from there. He says, wherefore, Romans 5:12, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. He says that phrase, death by sin. The Greek there is thanatos dia hamartia. I'm not going to spell it for you. I have no. That word or that phrase means on the occasion of sin. Okay? On the occasion of sin, death has upon all. Okay? Okay? Now, that word passed in the Greek is the Greek word diakomai. Okay? D-I-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. D-I-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. Now, of course, the word entered is isakomai. Isakomai. E-I-S-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. You have entered is isakomai, and then passed is diakomai. Now, diakomai means to spread. Means what? To spread. Okay? Used about 44 times in the New Testament Greek. It is not a word for procreation, but it is a word that implies to spread. And that word is a verb, which means an action is implied. Okay? So, for the spread to happen, there must be an action or actions. So what are we saying? By one man, sin entered. Now, I have told you before, isakomai for entered, it means come from outside. Eh? Like you have entered. You are not here. Then you came in. Enter. So, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death spread. Okay? Death prayed when what action? Remember, I've told you, it is a verb, so it demands an action. So death spread because sin spread. The spread of sin is the spread of death. Are we together? Now, listen to me very well. Now, when you're reading 5:12, at first glance from its own, it says, by one man, sin entered into the world. I was just reading plain English. And death by sin. So, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In fact, I actually tried to look through many different translations, and all of them are interpreting it wrongly. Because from what I have just read, without going into the original language, this is the implication. Adam sinned. When Adam sinned, because now we've already looked at what the sin is. When Adam sinned, death came. Then that death now became everyone's what? Portion. Because what? Everyone sinned. Isn't it how it reads there in the King James? Is that how it reads? But now, when we start to break down the words from the original language, we realize that these words like isakomai, okay, that one is fair, diakomai speaks of an action. That would imply if it is an action, then everyone cannot die without an action. Are we together? So, when he now says, for that all have sinned, this is what he means. By one man sin came into the world, death is the result of that sin, and therefore death spread upon all men that have sinned. Because sinned, hamatano, hermatano, is also an action. If I say you have sinned, you must tell me what I have done. And we all know you cannot do without doing.
Is that how I think? I think that is...
Okay? Now, furthermore, that word diakomai in the Greek refers to a gradual spread. The spread we are talking about is gradual. Now,
let me use it.
When you're spreading bread, you start from somewhere, and then you move, isn't it? So the spread goes. You say, I'm spreading bread, then wah, wah, the whole toast is full of spread. I don't know how to use blue band, chipotle, honey, butter, I eat all. So, the spread. So, we have a gradual spread. What are we trying to investigate? We're trying to investigate if sin, the sin of Adam, becomes the corporal identity of man. Huh? We're trying to go at it from scratch. Okay. Let's look at more words. Now, the phrase upon all men also shows an influence, not a procreation. Upon all men, the men that have sinned. Remember the usage of the word all? Upon all men that have sinned. I'm telling you, it's very hard to find a translation that puts this verse the right way. I think the King James is the best. I don't know. If you find one, you'll tell me. They'll tell you, Adam sinned, death came, everyone became sinner.
But we're going to see that that is not consistent with the Bible.
Verse 13. For until the law, let's read. Was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Verse 13. That word imputed is the Greek word elogio. Elogio. E-double-L-O-G-E-O. E-double-L-O-G-E-O. It means to charge to an account. To charge to an account. It refers to a written account. What is he saying? He is saying sin was not charged. Or sin was not charged to anybody's account until the law was documented. What does that mean? Now, from here, some people have thought that the law brought sin. No. A legislation most times comes because there is an offense. So the legislation is to deal with the offense. Not so. There are laws on speeding because there is speeding. The law on overspeeding charges the offense of speeding. Not so. The law on overspeeding is not the reason for overspeeding. It is there to punish what? Now, it is not wise to say that that is what put their overspeeding. There is a punishment for theft because there is theft. In fact, recently I remember in Uganda there were some violations, but there was no law to charge people on them. I think Parliament was even supposed to sit so that they put forth penalties for some offenses because they were not catered for. And because they are not catered for, you cannot charge a person. For it, right? Praise the Lord. So, it is not the law that brings sin. The law was there because of sin. It punishes sin. That word elogio is used by Paul in Philemon 18. Philemon 1:18 or Philemon 18. Writing to Philemon, he says, if he has wronged thee, or owes thee aught, put that on my account. Or like the Magaga would say, on me. Mwenababawe, kunze. Charge it to my account. So you are charging a debt, an obligation. Okay. So sin existed, but it was not charged as a debt. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no. When was the law? The law came with Moses. Before Moses, sin was in the world. From Adam to Moses, there was sin. The law of Moses now comes to charge that sin. And we go to verse 14. Nevertheless, Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to come? Now, he now uses hamatano, anti-hamatano. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned. Can you see that? Had not sinned. Which means, everyone is not a sinner from Adam. Because he's now talking about a certain group which what? Had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's. The action of Adam or the sin of Adam does not become the sin of everyone. That's what I mean. Because there are those who have not sinned after what? The similitude of Adam's transgression. Let's look at some of those words. After the similitude of Adam's transgression, what we have is this. Adam's sin became exemplary for all that sinned afterwards. Can I say that again? Adam's sin became what? Exemplary for all those that sinned afterwards. Not all that sinned in verse 14 sinned after his similitude. Because sin is a verb. Look at this. Not everyone, okay? Nevertheless, from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Okay? All that sinned in verse 14 did not sin. After what? Adam's transgression. Adam's sin is not everyone in verse 14's sin. Eh? Am I slow enough? Adam's sin is not everyone's sin. Who sinned in verse 14? And Paul, the writer, what does he say reigned? He says death reigned, not sin. Continue. But without the law, sin and death were in the world. So the law does not bring sin and death into the world. I'm coming. You can write the question down. If you still have it at the end, we can hide it down. We'll look at it. Okay? So the law did not make sin produce death. Sin produced death and the law charges sin. Okay. Now, the word reign or reigned, death reigned, is the word basileo. B-A-S-I-L-E-U-O. It is a word used for kingdom. When we are talking about a reign, we are talking about something gathering followership
or something gathering submission, followership.
But he said the reign of King George, I don't know if there was a King George.
We are looking at the time where his influence was gaining. Okay? The reign. Death was gathering territory. Death was gathering influence. That's why, remember the word spread? Passed upon. So, you are having it spread. So, death reigned. He used that reign in also verse 17, that word. For if by one man's offense, death reigned. Also in verse 21, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So, every time you see basileo, it speaks of authority. Okay? The reign. The reign of the Kabaka. The authority of the Kabaka. The authority of the king. That's what you are talking about. So, and when you have authority, that authority must be applied in a place or a space. Authority is applied where? In a place or in a space. So, where did death reign? Where did it gather followership? Come on, verse 14. Verse 12, by one man's sin, entered where? Into the world. And death by sin. So where was death reigning? In the world. And what is the world? In the activities of men. In the activities of men. Again, you see that is man's activity. So man must do something. Okay? Every man must be able to do an activity. That activity brings sin to that man. So you cannot say that every man sinned in Adam. The adjectives used by Paul in that discussion are all active verbs or adverbs. What is an adverb? An adverb describes an action. Or a word that describes a verb. A verb is a what? A doing word. It's an action. So you have a command. You have active words. Be a command. You have basileo. You have hamatano. Sinned. Reigned. Entered. They are all active words. So an action must needs be. You ever seen that in the kingdom? Must need. Amen. So a man does not come a sinner, does not become a sinner from birth. A man does not become a sinner from procreation. Because, this is important, you do not sin by another man's actions. The mere fact that I've said you have sinned, you have done something. Praise the Lord. You do not sin by another man's action. So you see, death reigned from Adam to Moses. To Moses. Now that word to, it does not mean a conclusion. They say, because you may say, it reigned from Adam to and stopped at Moses. That is the word mekri in the Greek. M-E-C-H-R-I. It is also an adverb. It does not imply to stop, but this implies action. That I'm looking for an example. Maybe I should give you where it is. Matthew 11:23. I'm reading. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. The word until. Sodom would have remained until this day. You realize that that statement is true now. Yet, by the time Jesus made it, it may seem to imply that up to that time. But it is only describing actions. So you're describing continuation and not an end. You must know it from Ephesians 4:13, until we come to the knowledge of the truth. Where is that one? Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. When is that? People come to it individually. You know? So, it is not like we are stopping here, but it is describing continuous actions. So, death did not stop reigning at Moses. Death reigned even after Moses. The reason it's discussing like that is because of what he's talking about in the book of Romans. The law, Israel, sin, grace, righteousness. So, there may be specific points he will allude to during his discussion, but not necessarily isolating those. Amen. Hallelujah. So he says, so death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. The word over is epi, E-P-I. E-P-I, it implies at the basis of or the instance of. At the basis of or the instance of. Even over them. Okay? So, that puts a responsibility on that them. Right? At the instance of the them. Can I say that? Death reigns even over them. Why? You know, we're going through these words because when they are read at face value, they imply Adam sin, whoever is born partook of it. So when you bring the words apart, you're going to realize that actually that's not what was implied by Paul. So that's what we're doing. We're doing bring the words apart, then we are going to bring everything together. You know that, right? Similitude is the word homoima. Homoima. H-O-M-O-I-O-M-A. H-O-M-O-I-O-M-A. In the book of Romans, we find it in chapter 6, verse 5. Romans 6:5.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Romans chapter 1 verse 23. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Okay? We have it in Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. So, let's go back to Romans 5:14. What does it say? Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, at the instance of those who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. What do you understand when you read that? Who is the figure of him that was to come? Now, the word who comes from the Greek word H-O. S? H-O-S-O-H-O. How do you read that? H-O-S-O-H-O. Now, that is called what's the word? Is it a preposition? It can mean who, okay, in the Greek, H-O-S-O-H-O, can stand for who. Are you writing? Which, what, or that? Which, who, what, or that? That preposition, I think it's a preposition, it is used to stress an actor, an action, or an event. What I mean, it can stress an actor. Like I say, Brother Marino. Who owns the Marion Creative? It can stress an action. Brother Marino. Which... No. Let me change now to an action. We can say the speaker which gives sound. It's also H-O-S. Okay? So you can have an actor, Brother Marino. You can have an action done by the speaker. So now, how do you determine which one was implied? You determine what was implied from the context. Everybody look at your Bible. Now, we have come from verse 12 to verse 14. We have been looking at actions like sin. Right? How now can we come to 14 and come to actions? Verse 14 puts it that Adam is the figure of the one who was to come. Okay? And many of you would have said the one to come is who? Of which, at that time that Paul wrote, he had come, right? But when you look carefully in context, you realize that what was in discussion is actions, not an actor. Well, given the actions were by an actor or actors, but what is specific there is actions. Two, The word to come or come is the Greek word melo. And melo was not used for individuals. Melo is M-E-L-L-O.
Okay?
So, how can we put it? The right now preposition to translate H-O will be what? Which? Not who? Raise your hand if you've understood what I've just explained. Has everyone understood what I've just explained? So what can we say? Romans 5:14. Nevertheless, death reigned by what? Actions, right? It reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, an action. After the similitude of Adam's transgression, an action. Which transgression is the figure? Are we together? Is the figure that which is to come? So what are we saying? The actions of Adam are going to be figurative of the actions, not Christ, not believers, the actions of sin to come. That is why you have similitude and type. Tupos. Are we together? Figure. Adam's sin is a figure. The word figure is the word tupos. T-U-P-O-S. Tupos implies a pattern. A what? Pattern. Or something followed after. Now do you see it? Okay? Nevertheless, death reigns from Adam, continued even after Moses, even over them, it's incumbent on the them, who had not sinned after the what? The homoima, or the similitude of Adam's transgression. That transgression is a pattern. Huh? Of that to come. Are we together? I'm coming home, don't worry. This is the slow part, and then we'll wrap it up. Okay? So, melo there, as I've told you, come is not for men but for action. So that further buttresses our putting the fact that the who is actually a which. Eh? It's not put to come, which is the actions, because come melo describes also actions. Different, huh? Are we together? So, Adam's transgression is an example. It is a pattern of such that will come after. In Adam, we find a pattern of things to come. What pattern is that? Human actions that abandoned what God said. Now someone may ask me, you told us that Adam's sin is not like the sin of Adam. Adam's sin is a pattern. That disobedience sets a pattern that other people are disobeying. So, whereas his actions in that moment may have been different from another person's actions set to date, but the transgression is the pattern by which another person disobeyed.
Right? Adam's sin is not everyone's sin. But Adam's sin is a pattern by which everyone sins. My God, that's deep. Is that clear? That's why you have, not after the similitude, but now you have a tuple. Can we see where that word is used? Quickly. John 20, verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see him in his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of those nails. You have the word print there. Acts chapter 7, verse 43. Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god, Raphnathan, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond, Babylon. You see the word there? Fashion. 1 Corinthians 10:6. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they lasted. 1 Thessalonians 1:17 and Hebrews 8:5 for the word pattern. 1 Thessalonians 1:17 and Hebrews 8:5. So by writing sin entered into the world, he meant that Adam's actions now become a pattern. Not a procreation, it's just a pattern. Fashioned like. Okay? Is a figure. Are we together? Verse 16, Romans 5. There. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Justification is dikaioma. Dikaioma. It implies a righteous judgment. Okay? Righteous judgment. See that word in verse 18, justification. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. What that phrase justification of life implies is the right view for the decision about life. So, in justification implies that it's a courtroom, it's a legal kind of term. Facts were presented and the person was acquitted rightly. Justification does not mean that God just overlooks. No. That may be mercy. Justification means that actually, whatever is due has been charged, has been met. So the judgment is just. The judgment is righteous. It's not sentimental. The judgment is right. Are we together? So in justification, it's not like, God, you just don't want to look at what, no. That action, that sin, which is sin now, has been actually charged. Amen. It has been charged, and you, the offender, you are now not found guilty because the penalty for that sin has been met. Come on, everybody. So, we have seen that now sin is in man's action. So, sin is a man's judgment call. In that sin, in the similitude of Adam's transgression, we see that it is a disposition against the knowledge of God. Okay? It is a what? A disposition against the knowledge of God. Some people think believing is not active. There cannot be sin without knowledge. Can we say that? An information is presented Adam and Eve, right? That is the knowledge, right? When does it become sin? It becomes sin when they reject that. So those are sinners. Amen? You're going to see patterns in the Old Testament. Hopefully we get through them if time allows us. So, verse 19, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The word is what? Parakoye. Disobedience. That means a refusal to heed a report and information. He's not saying you didn't hear. He's saying you didn't heed. So you disobey. Okay? Now, the word made, please, let's pay attention to this. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, shall many be made. Now, some of the universalists will use this verse to say, everyone is righteous, because everyone was a sinner. Isn't it? Because if you say, everyone sinned in Adam, it would imply everyone is righteous in. By one man's disobedience, many were what? Were made sinners. Remember this verse is not standing on its own. We have just read about a pattern. We have just read about spread. Okay? Now the word made can either be translated from poio or katistemi. I'm going to give you. If poio was used, which is P-O-I-E-O. Poio means to create. Or to manufacture. Okay? Whereas, katistemi, which is K-A-T-H-I-S-T-E-M-I. K-A-T-H-I-S-T-E-M-I. Please take note of these two words. Poio means to manufacture, to create. Katistemi means to appoint. Or to ordain. Now, if he said, by one man's disobedience, many were poio sinners, it would mean, because of what Adam did, men were born or manufactured or made sinners. Which they get. But he uses katistemi, which implies to appoint. Me and you know you can be appointed and you refuse the appointment. Isn't it? Isn't it? You can be ordained and refuse the ordination. Let me show you where it's used. Katistemi is used in Titus 1:5. Titus 1:5, quickly, be as if. Oh, God. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain in every city,
as I had appointed you. The word ordain there is the word kathisteme. So, in other words, would have said, I left you in Crete, and I told you to make, or to ordain, or to appoint elders. Timothy can refuse. Not so. He can postpone. So it is not in blood, so to speak. Another one is in Hebrews 2:7. Thou madest him a little lower than angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thine hands. And in Hebrews 5:1. Hebrews 2:7, Hebrews 5:1. So, where kathisteme is used, a man's will is involved. Where kathisteme is used, a man's will is involved. So in Romans 5:19, he's not saying by Adam's disobedience, everyone became a seed. No, he's saying everyone was appointed a seed. Because that seed is going to become a figure. It will be what? A pattern. So, men are appointed sinners according to that pattern. The pattern of what? Disobedience. They are not all sinners, but according, if anyone is to be called a sinner, it will be by disobedience. What is the one if we are together? We have done this text before. What? My wife told me I'm quick. So I'm going to slowly. Hope you're fine. Are we okay? So, Adam's sin became a type of human transgression generally. Men sinned from Adam to Moses, but it was not a corporate sin. Adam is mentioned because he's the first person of the sin. Amen. Is anyone who sinned before Adam? It is not because he's the one responsible for every man's sin. Amen. The next class will look at what Adam passed on to every man. Okay? Okay? Are you saturated? I stopped there. Hallelujah. Internalize. By the way, sometimes when you come and listen to a teaching like this, your first time is not really because it is difficult or because I'm not explaining well. It is just because it is the first time. Let me tell you something. She knows like how much I take to just internalize it. Now I know this thing. I'm not bragging. But to just prepare them and to share them. It takes me time. I'm going to confess. Sometimes I write them, and when I'm preparing them, I have not understood how I am going to say what I'm reading. Yeah? So I pray a lot. When I come here, I get an explanation somehow. It's a miracle. I think it's the grace of God on explanation. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because sometimes you want to hear once. And you have everything. The serpent was there. Yeah. Do you know this is what we did? Pastor Godfrey, which Bible seminar is that? 2018, January?
The second one of 2018.
This is what we did. How many of you remember? No, some of you were there.
So, it's when we go over and over and over and over and over. I advise, do not come for the next class without going through your previous notes.
No. Not for this class, at least. This is not like a... You reach here and you be angered. Yet I'm going very slowly. This is very slow. I promise, this is very slow.
I feel like I'm even just rewinding. Amen. Have we understood? We have only done 3 verses today. Can you imagine? 3.
Can we continue our story? First, ask me a question before I go ahead.
Okay. They all have sinned. Now,
okay, that's a good question.
Now, Romans 3:23, for all who.
Let's go back.
Let's start from 19. This is where you actually get it from. Okay, earlier, but 19 is a good context. Now, we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Now, in case you are wondering in Romans 5:30 why he says the law.
You know, if you're starting from to explain or to read from 5:12, you may say,
because it says, therefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men. For all have sinned. Then he just puts the parenthesis there. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law.
So that statement there seems like it is out of context, right?
How many of you thought that? But because the law, the discussion has not started from 5. Now you see here, law.
Okay? Now, let's go together. Where were we?
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophet, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. All that believe, there is no difference between what? Those who have the law and those who didn't have that. The Jew and the Gentile. So all take a W, but all is actually two types. The ones with the law, the ones without. Remember 19? Why? The law was added because of transgression. So, he's moving in a parallel of the law and no law. Jew, Gentile. Okay. Now, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So now, this is how it is. The righteousness of God without the law. The law cannot make anyone righteous. That's what he has said. The law is the knowledge of sin. It is the epignosis of sin. Okay? Then what does he say? The righteousness of God without the law is revealed both in the law and in the prophets. Now, the law in the law and the prophets is different from the righteous, from the law, which is the righteousness without the law. This is what I mean. When he says the law and the prophets, he's referring to the Old Testament books. When he says the righteousness without the law, he's referring to the law of Moses. Just the law of Moses. The system which seeks to justify men by Moses. Find a lot of it in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Are we together?
Okay.
Which has the 600 and so forth.
Okay? Now, he says that righteousness of God is unto all that believe. All that believe. The all parts of the all are those who believed without or are not justified from the law of Moses. And those who seek justification from the law of Moses. He said, there is no difference. Because the means of justification is one, faith in Christ Jesus. Because for both of those groups that sin, or for both of those groups sin, or sin is the same, whether you have Moses or you don't have Moses. Sin is the same, which is what? Coming short of the glory of God. Remember, we talked about sin as a lack, as a deficiency, as something missing. So, whether you and your Moses is what you are following, but you have the faith in Christ Jesus, or Moses never came to you, there is no difference. All of you have a lack. And that lack is filled in Christ Jesus. So then he says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Both the Jew and Gentile that sin fall short of the glory of God. And are justified freely by him. Amen. Now in Romans 5:14, the difference there, it's still the same, but the difference is, he's talking about time period. Remember, it's the origin of sin from Adam. There are people who think that sin comes because of the law, or the law is the only thing that can deal with sin. Because the Jew thinks that they are only one of the, they are the only members of the commonwealth. Why? Because the law came to them. Paul is going to tell them, Nedavandi, sin came from Adam, and it was spreading and raining and chilling and parting until Moses. Why until Moses? Not because it is stopping with Moses, but because it is at Moses that the law which comes and shines. Why? Because sin was not imputed until there was the law. So the law of Moses now came and identified adultery, covetousness, stealing, you know, unfairness, whatever it is, hatred. Because Moses came and identified them, that, and gave them a system to them which they felt like would absorb them and put them right with God, they thought that justification is now for them only. But now he's telling them, no, but sin started before Moses. Death reigned before Moses. It continues. But we have a man, Christ Jesus. That's what you have by the disobedience of Moses, by the obedience of Christ. We're clear? Yeah. Not if you understand. You understand? So, what was left now that we have dealt with the hard part of breaking down that Romans 5:14? Well, now, I want to now show you examples from the Old Testament that actually show that sin does not become a corporal identity of humanity because of procreation. Can we go through some? There's no heavy anything. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 3, 20. These are very many verses. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 3 to 20. I want everyone to follow so that we read quickly. Have an occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of a father is, so also the soul of a son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and he hath not eaten upon this mountain, neither has lifted up his eyes to idols for the house of Israel, neither has delighted in his neighbor's wife, neither come near of a menstruous woman, and has not oppressed those. Verse 10. If you beget a son that earth is a robber, a shed of blood, and that does the like to any other of these things, and does not of any of those duties, but even that eaten upon the mountains and defiled his neighbor's wife. So he's going to list sin. You say, yea, why does not the son bear the iniquity of the father, when the son has done that which is lawful and right, and has kept all the statutes, and has done them, he shall surely live. Verse 20, the soul that sins, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So Ezekiel is writing and is saying that the sin of the father is not charged on the son, and the sin of the son is not charged on the father. Right there you put deliverance ministries to rest, and they enter their rest. Because it is usually your fathers, your forefathers have done A, B, C, D, and so it is following you. And over your family, they are not giving birth, so it is following you. All that nonsense. But that shall not be the case. But they also have their text that they use. Their text is Exodus. And someone was telling me, and sometimes, you know, so-called grace ministries, they mix these things up also. Yeah, a guy who had, impregnated a girl. So, among his many explanations, he told me, you see, my brother, he's a believer, goes to, my brother had a kid out of wedlock. My other sister had a kid out of wedlock. I had a kid out of wedlock. So this thing is spiritual. It must be sorted somewhere. But you see, and you know, you'll find things like that. Say poverty is being carried on. The reason poverty may be carried on is because of the opportunities and the people you know. But it's not because that it is spiritual. It's just that your dad and his friends are poor. You went to a poor people's school, so your alumni are poor. And you know, sometimes I say, yeah, that's just that. And but it may not be a sentence. You can come from rags to riches, grass to grace. You know? So it's not a spiritual, you know, thing. Pursuing you. Amen. Exodus chapter 5. This is the verse of visiting iniquity. Thou to them, I the Lord thy God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Visiting the iniquity of the third fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. This was really just a translation case. Now, first of all, the fact that he said God is jealous. Now, jealousy is a negative, usually negative what? Emotion. I know some people say I have godly jealousy. Is what they call it? A holy jealousy? God jealousy? Godly, whatever that is. Yeah. But really, jealousy here, used for God, specifically by Moses, it was to do with someone who is affectionate exclusively to what or who he owns. So it speaks of God's affection exclusively for the ones he owns. Let me read for you some of the text. Look at Exodus 34:14. Thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. God is not jealous. He's just talking about his affection towards what is his. Like you can say, I'm jealous over my kids. It's not that you jealous is them. You just really carefully affectionate for them, and you do not want anything to distract them. Otherwise. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 6:15. For the Lord God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. We'll look at texts like this in the future. So first of all, God's jealousy is not God jealous, like it would be jealous, but it's God being affectionate over his own. Now, the word visiting is the Greek Hebrew word pakad. Pakad. P-A-Q-A-D. Pakad is used in Genesis 21. Let's go to Genesis 21. Pakad. Genesis 21 verse 1. Moses used Pakad positively. And the Lord visited Sarah, or Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord said unto Sarah as he had spoken. He had told Sarah about what? She shall have a son according to the time of. So he visited her to make sure of that promise. Okay? Genesis 39 verse 4. Genesis 39 verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hands. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptians. The word overseer. Overseer is the word pakad. It is the word visited. Okay? Lastly, Genesis 44. Genesis 40, verse 4. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them and served them, and they continued a season inward. Okay. So, charged. That's the word visit. Charged. So, what does it mean? So, the word pakad means to put in charge of. Okay? To put in charge of something or to take care of something. Use visit positively. So, God visiting the iniquity of the fathers will be God coming to us to take charge of the iniquity. From the third, was it all this? Third and to fourth generation. Let's go back to Exodus and I'll show you what I mean. So, he came to take charge. How does he do it? Verse 6. How does he do it? Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments.
Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ear, so will I do. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that you have numbered of you, according to your own number, from 20 years old, upward, which have murmured against you. Doubtless, you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein. Save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you say should be afraid, then will I bring you, and they shall know the land which you have despised.
So do you see? God spared the children 20 years and below. So all of you who are sending children to hell, you see, God showed mercy. He said they did not. Remember, what did I say? Things cannot be imputed where there is no knowledge. So the assumption here is that at 20 years, here, number, they did not know. They did not participate in the mammary, so God does not punish them their parents. Or they don't get punished with their exodus. So, Exodus 20, verse 5, is God's law. The visiting of the iniquity is a visiting to show mercy. Hallelujah.